This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we are streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. It is Super Bowl Monday, as in the day after the Super Bowl. The Eagles are Super Bowl champions, and even though I think, Anthony, we were both in favor of them winning this game. Well, you didn't. No, you picked the Eagles, but wanted the Chiefs to win. I was the other way around. I wanted the Eagles to win, but picked the Chiefs. And really, honestly, Anthony, it doesn't feel that good. I don't think that there's anything about the Eagles winning that feels good for us here in D.C. I think there could be potential Commanders impacts here. The Eagles now host the NFL opener in 2025 because they win. Don't be surprised if it's Jalen Hurts versus Jaden Daniels week one, and we're doing a show on a Thursday from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because had the Chiefs won, I think it would probably have been Mahomes versus Jaden.
But that could have been possible too. I guess we are on the Chiefs schedule for a road game next year. So yeah. Washington will see both of these teams. You'll see a very hungry Chiefs team for sure next year. But we'll get into more of what the future holds for both of these teams over the next couple of days. And obviously the entire offseason, we have to talk about it. But let us get started, Anthony. This is an annual tradition. And, you know, we're one game away from having to do this anyway, because we do a first and 10 after each Commanders game, but we're gonna do this Super Bowl style. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is how we break down football games on Mondays.
It's time to get the breakdown started. One, two, three, three. First up, 10 observations.
Mr. Gizai and just boom, put it right on the ground.
It's first and 10.
All right, let's get started with number one, Ant.
Number one.
The Eagles' defense is very simply one of the best defenses that we have seen in years. And this is a generational defense. Think 2013 Seahawks, think 2000 Ravens, think any other defense you want to throw in there. This defense is right up there with them. They just have enough talent on offense that we don't necessarily think of them first. But this performance by Philadelphia's defense was their capstone project, their master's thesis, their PhD dissertation. This was a defensive performance that was all-encompassing in every way you can be great defensively. They simply smothered the Chiefs in a way that we didn't even think was possible to do to that quarterback. You're not supposed to be able to do that to Patrick Mahomes. He's too good. He's too smart. The ball comes out too quickly. He knows the answers to the test always. It did not matter yesterday. They tightened the screws to 10, knowing that the only way to beat a defense that is that suffocating underneath is to get over the top, and then you couldn't get over the top on them because there wasn't going to be time. That takes time. Even for Xavier Worthy, the fastest player in the league based off of 40 time. It takes time for him to get downfield. To get 40 yards downfield, it took him 4.22 seconds. You don't have 4.22 seconds. You didn't have 2.22 seconds yesterday. And the way they did it was a beautiful blend, as much as it pains us to say here in D.C., a truly beautiful blend of personnel and scheme. Let's talk about the personnel first for number two.
Number two.
They took what was an old, slow, and unproductive defense, and in one offseason, through a combination of good drafting and good luck and good planning, turned it into one of the fastest, most explosive units in the NFL. The luck part is simple. They can talk all they want about, oh, we had Zach Bond and, you know, we had the foresight to move him to inside linebacker. Great. You deserve immense amounts of credit. Vic Fangio, Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman, the linebackers, whoever it was that was like, hey, Bond, let's not have you be a mediocre edge player and special teams guy. What happens? You seem to be pretty good at moving backwards. Let's try you out in coverage. Oh, wow. You're pretty good at this. And then he turns into an all-pro. They can say, oh, we had a vision for it. You don't change positions in the NFL and go from, I don't want to say scrub, but like backup player, guy who signed for like $1.5 million, to all-pro at a new position in 1 year. That is one of the most remarkable. I mean, now that we're done and he helped him win a Super Bowl and he had a pick in the Super Bowl and he made the All-Pro team, he was Defensive Player of the Year finalist. That's one of the greatest single-year stories in NFL history. Like, we can't, how else could it have gotten better? Like, I guess if he like wins MVP as a defensive player, certainly if he wins Defensive Player of the Year, but like, he was a finalist for that award. Truly one of the greatest single season stories in NFL history, and there is undoubtedly some element of luck that is in that, and I know that because they signed Devin White, who you didn't even know was on the Eagles. I don't even know if he's still on the Eagles. Devin White signed for double this offseason what Zach Bond did, and Bond turned in to that dude. They also obviously drafted Cooper DeJean. I know that one hurts Washington fans, but you wind up with Mike Sanders still, and we'll see what Ben Sinnott is and everything else that happened with that trade. Trades can be good for both teams. Just because the Eagles won this year doesn't mean, oh, the Eagles won the trade forever. Let's see how the next 5-10 years plays out. But certainly Cooper DeJean's a fantastic player, had an enormous impact with the pick six last night on what is absurdly his 22nd birthday. He is so young. Most of the guys that get drafted this year will be older than Cooper DeJean is right now, and he has a pick six in the Super Bowl on his resume. Kenyon Mitchell, the other guy they drafted in the first round, a tremendous pickup and so well coached. He's so smart. He's so fast. He shut down multiple shot plays too worthy last night. His ability to run across the field with some of these crossing routes, the length, the play strength, he is just a really sensational corner. And then some of the other pieces, like Jalen Carter, who took a leap this year from a very promising rookie to genuinely one of the best game wreckers in the NFL. And then you have guys like Josh Sweat and Milton Williams, who had tremendous games. We'll talk about them a little bit more in a bit. But the transformational pieces for me are Bond, DeJean, Mitchell, and Carter going to a completely new level. And that leads us to how Vic Fangio ultimately deployed them, which is number three in our first and 10.
Number three.
The Philadelphia Eagles had zero blitzes yesterday. Zero blitzes. That is, they sent five or more in pressure zero times. They did run a few simulated pressures, but they always had four or three rushing, and seven or eight in coverage. And if you want to know how you are as sticky and how there is as little air in the defense as Philadelphia constantly had, that is the biggest reason why. They simply had the bodies to do it. When you have to bring extra pressure and you're three deep, four underneath, or your quarters match coverage with four potential deep defenders and three underneath becomes 3-3, the field gets a lot bigger very, very quickly. You also inherently, as that shift is happening. The blitz has to come from somewhere. That is something that tends to draw quarterback eyes, and the great ones like Mahomes, and Jaden Daniels is also great at this for whatever it's worth, worth a lot. Their eyes go to where that vacancy is, where that void is. There was no void because they did not blitz. And the ability to then say, okay, well, what's the problem? Why wouldn't you do that all the time? Well, then because you don't get any pressure on the quarterback, except for they did. They tied the Super Bowl record for sacks in this game with six. They just, with a combination of guys like Bond, Mitchell, and DeJean, who I mentioned, the way that those guys cover ground, the speed that they have, and the intelligence that they had, how well taught they are, where they understand this quarters match Vic Fangio scheme, where this is the part of the field that is dangerous on this play. Oh, I understand this route concept, or I understand if this guy goes here, I need to follow him because I'm just going to be babysitting empty grass. And that's what happens on the DeJean pick. Kenyon Mitchell is running with the play behind it, and there's just extra bodies in the area. And so it goes from being a flood play by Kansas City where they're trying to flood the zone and make sure that they have someone open because Philly doesn't have the amount of guys you would need to cover the receivers in that section of the field, to just an endless flood of bodies, and DeJean gets lost in Mahomes' vision. He peels off, and it's also a third and long, I believe. And so he realizes, like, I don't need to cover the flat. What am I going to do, babysit this five-yard area in case there's a check down to the running back that would then have to run 12 yards to get a first down? No. I'm gonna back off and make these windows tighter. And the consistent ability to understand what offenses wanted to do, have the bodies there, and make sure that you're then not weak for deeper shots because, one, you're playing a quarters four deep type of base structure, and two, because your pass rush is so good that you don't need blitzers to get home, is how you get a generational defense. And that is exactly what this was. Again, they put on arguably their best performance of the year. It's one of the best performances ever by a defense in a Super Bowl. And it is the primary reason why the Eagles are Super Bowl champions. When we get back, we get to some of the other reasons. One quarterback who played well, one quarterback who did not, and some Eagles that will be, thankfully if you're a Washington fan, headed out of town after marvelous performances in their final game in green. That's all next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We're live from Capital One Arena today, where the Wizards will take on Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs tonight. You'll hear it here on the Team 980. Dave Johnson live with us at 6 o'clock. And actually, Meg McDonald is going to stop by here in a second, speaking of the Monumental Sports Family. You might know her, Moneyline Meg, from her show on Monumental Sports that she does daily. And she's going to stop by after she gets done with that today. And we're going to talk Super Bowl. So excited to have Meg on the show. It's funny because whenever we do the show live from Cap One, Meg always walks by and waves as she's walking out after her show. And eventually I was just like, you want to come sit down and talk stuff? And she was like, heck yeah. So Meg's going to join us at 4:30. Right now, though, we continue with our first and 10 Super Bowl edition. We talked about the Eagles' defense to get things started, and we pick up with their offense.
Number four.
Everything the smart people, not everything everyone says, everything the smart people say about Jalen Hurts is true. But that doesn't make him any less of a player. And that's something we should collectively unpack to be smarter about football. That's something that anybody who criticizes him or points out flaws in his game, if they are indeed a smart person, is reckoning with today to understand the value of certain skill sets within the context of the NFL. Hurts is not an elite processor. He's not a twitchy thrower in the way that Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes are, where the ball just flies out of his hand quickly, like catch, throw, get it out. That's not who Jalen Hurts is. But he's now a Super Bowl MVP and a Super Bowl champion. So what do we make of that? Because what he is someone who is supremely accurate. That is the thing that since Jalen Hurts was at Alabama, nevertheless Oklahoma, or even in his rookie year in the NFL, or his ascent in 2022, like all of it. He has always been an extremely accurate thrower, and especially an extremely accurate downhill thrower. And the value of the deep ball in the NFL is still something that I think is really underappreciated by a lot of people. A lot of people love this dink and dunk, throw it over the middle, your tight end, 7 yard gain. Oh, let me hit this dig route for 12 yards. Okay, cool. You dink and dunk your way out down the field, I'll take Jalen Hurts throwing go balls. We'll go 40 yards at a time, 50 yards at a time. And so he is very smart when it comes about when to throw, where to throw, deep balls down. And then he's also an elite competitor. And that comes out in multiple ways. It comes out in his knack for making the big play, rising to the biggest moments. Also, he is incredibly even-keeled, which is an enormous trait for a quarterback to have, especially on that team where there are all kinds of different personalities that he is managing at all times. And he is just a steady person in the middle of that storm, and he is the one that guided them to this championship.
Number five.
The one thing the Chiefs did well yesterday was stop Saquon Barkley, much to my chagrin, because I had Saquon as an anytime touchdown scorer in this game. Whoopsie daisies on that one. But they sold out to sell Saquon. The problem is that then left them exposed on the back end. And at the end of the day, like in the, hey, we got to make Jalen Hurts beat us. Well, he did. And like, congrats to the Chiefs on having arguably one of the best days of Saquon against Saquon all year. Congratulations to Saquon for winning the Super Bowl.
Number six.
Milton Williams and Josh Sweat both probably played their final game in green yesterday. Something that if you're a Washington fan, you're like, thank God. Sweat has been sensational for years for Philly. Williams is going to get paid a ton of money, and very simply, Philly cannot afford. I mean, they are as good as anybody at making the cap stuff work, but they can't pay him and then pay Jalen Carter in a couple years with all the guys they're already paying. Like, Bond was on, I'm pretty sure, a one-year deal. He's going to need to get paid. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen for Philly this offseason, and Milton Williams and Josh Sweat are probably two guys that are going to be on the outs because they're going to want to go get paid somewhere. Sweat is certainly on my list for Washington. Williams, frankly, depending on what happens with Allen and Payne, could be on my list for Washington as well. Just a tremendous output from both those guys. The strip sacks for Williams. Sweat was everywhere. Like, those two guys cemented themselves as guys that will never have to buy a beer or a cheesesteak in Philadelphia ever, ever again with how they played yesterday, even though they then are probably going to play somewhere else next season.
Number seven.
That is the worst game I've seen Patrick Mahomes play in a long time, if not ever. Like, truly, possibly his worst game. I know people like to point to that Tampa Bay game in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Patrick Mahomes in that Tampa game was outrageously good. The circumstances around him were so outrageously bad that it wasn't really that competitive. But, like, Mahomes in that game, I mean, think about that play that he made where he rolled out and, like, was diving, getting tackled, and threw a submarine ball where his knuckles dragged the ground, and he hit Tyreek Hill in the face mask between two guys down the field. That wasn't yesterday. This was a Patrick Mahomes whose feet were all over the place, whose eyes were all over the place, who truly had no control over that game because of how well Philly was doing and crumbling circumstances around him. So while Mahomes was playing bad, he actually wasn't near the top of the list of the problems for Kansas City.
Number eight.
Top of that list was probably their offensive line. And the decision to move Joe Thuney outside worked until it really didn't. It took a strength for Kansas City, the interior of their O-line, and made it average. And it didn't really make anything else a strength. Thuney was outmatched at left tackle yesterday. And they should have probably, in hindsight, made a switch there if they do it at halftime. I mean, at that point, it's probably already too late. But it happens. It's too late because Thuney gets bowled back into Mahomes, who throws the pick to Bond that ends that drive and ultimately turns a chance for Kansas City to double up and make it a one-score game coming out of halftime if they can double up end of first half, start a second, to a 24-0 deficit at halftime. Just a really, really poor performance by Kansas City's offensive line, enhanced by the fact that the Eagles have arguably the best defensive line in the sport.
Number nine.
One thing you can do to mitigate that is the RPO game. They did that on the first drive for one play, and I don't know that they ran an RPO for the rest of the day. I think Washington showed the formula of how you can beat Philadelphia. I actually think that we'll talk about the Commanders obviously more as we go today and what they did against Philly and trying to add the context of like, oh, wow, that was the Super Bowl champions. But the RPO game that Cliff and Jaden deployed was a way to move the football against this Eagles defense because you have these incredible players in DeJean and Bond on the insides, and you need to find a way to put them in conflict. And Kansas City just didn't, which is weird because they've used RPOs a ton in the playoffs when their numbers have been way better from an efficiency standpoint. Bizarre choice by Andy Reid, who is obviously one of the greatest coaches in the history of the league, but I don't know that there was a game plan for Kansas City that was going to work yesterday against Philly, but that sure as hell wasn't it.
Number 10.
Last thing, biggest takeaway. draft well or bust. And that does not mean that you can't go make big trades. And so before anyone's like, well, you said the Commanders should go get Myles Garrett. Yeah, they should. Just like the Eagles went and got A.J. Brown. And you can go make big splash moves in free agency. But whether you give up a couple of draft picks to go do that, or you keep all yours and just purely build through the draft, if you do not hit on your picks, you are not going to be a champion in this league. And the difference in many ways yesterday is guys like Mitchell, DeJean, Carter, etc. played incredible ball for Philly, while there are holes at, for instance, left tackle for the Chiefs, because 2 years in a row, they have missed on trying to address that in the draft. Having the picks is not good enough. You have to hit on them. So this is why, yeah, I trust Adam Peters to go trade picks for Myles Garrett, because I also trust Adam Peters to use the picks that he has well. You have got to hit. And if you hit at the rate that Philly hits, you can build the best roster in the league. If you hit it the way Kansas City had hit for the 5 years prior to the last two, you can go back-to-back champs in the Super Bowl. You miss on a couple, and those are, you know, you start to lose guys in free agency, and you need to replace them, and you miss. That is how you fall off from what Kansas City was to what Kansas City is, which is a team that failed for the first time in 3 years to win the Lombardi Trophy. That's our first and 10. We're going to talk much more about this game from every facet as we go. Meg McDonald's going to sit down and join us for part of that discussion next. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you see televisions. Meg McDonald. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing well. This is exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were going to be on TV. I was happy I did my hair today.
Yeah, I had to do a little product. I have a haircut on Wednesday, and I need it so badly. My YouTube stream that I did this morning, I just put on a hat. I was like, this is...
Yeah, but guys can get away with that.
I think you should wear a hat on television.
I don't think your hair looks bad, but if my hair looks busted, it's like, that's gross.
No, you should have seen it this morning. It was bad.
Okay,
it was really bad.
Carry on.
Now I'm going to be like, hey, Meg, look at my hat hair picture.
Check out my haircut on Wednesday.
Yeah, no. Hey, Wednesday, it'll look great on the show because I'm getting the haircut at like 2. The show starts at 4. It can't possibly get – I don't want to jinx it. Anyway, we're going to talk more Super Bowl with Meg, who, of course, is the host of By the Book Bets on Monumental Sports Network, where normally you finish your show, and then when we're broadcasting live here, you walk by and we go,
hey,
good to see you. Eventually we'll have you. Okay, bye, because I'm always in the middle of the segment.
I'm trying to get home, beat traffic, You know how it is in the DMV area.
And it's about to get 1,000 times worse, apparently.
Why?
Stuff. Yeah, well, save that conversation for another day. But like yesterday, so I was telling you in the break, I typically am not a sports gambler. I will, like, which has kind of been a funny bit on this show, because I went on an all-time heater this year picking games. We did a thing called Competition Wednesday where we picked 3 games each against the spread. Me and my producer Anthony is sitting back in D.C. probably.
Are we talking football?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And at one point during the season, you see Anthony waving on the screen there.
Hi.
Who's just probably like, please don't bring up Competition Wednesday. I got to a point.
He's like, second topic.
Yeah. I got to a point where I was 22-5 against the spread.
Oh, my
Lord. I then lost 9 in a row.
Well, that's how
Because that's how it goes.
Yeah.
And so yesterday I was like, you know what? I'm going to add a little bit of extra fun to the Super Bowl.
It's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. I threw down a couple. There was like a parlay here, and I Saquon is an anytime touchdown scorer, and that didn't catch. Nothing.
What number
I just
did
lost
you
25
get for
bucks.
Saquon?
I think it was minus
anytime
180.
Touchdown. Okay, so I was like, seeing minus 190 out there, and I was like, what a terrible bet.
Right, which the only reason I did it was because there was a sweepstakes situation where it was like, if your anytime touchdown score hits, then you're entered in the sweepstakes. I was like, let me take the favorite.
Sure.
That way I can get in on the sweepstakes money, even though I'm not going to make anything on this singular bet. And then I didn't make anything anyway.
You want to hear something crazy? We were talking to a guest. His name is Patrick Everson on our Friday show this past week. And he's like a Vegas reporter. Like, he tracks where the money is going. Mm-hmm. And he's told us live on our show that there were more Saquon Barkley handle and money coming in for anytime touchdown than there was on Chiefs or Eagles spread or money line or totals over under as well.
That is how they air condition the desert.
So that's a sucker bet.
Yeah, we're just I wish I had I known that.
Should have watched the show.
I have this show on at the same time. Where's the rerun?
I can understand how that could be difficult.
Yes, yes.
Rerun is still during your show.
Okay, see, that's not helpful. Work. Okay, all right. Anthony, can we like DVR Meg's show back in the studio? That way I do not make sucker bets in the future.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Done.
Got
done.
That. You were telling me in the break you had a million things going yesterday. How did your day go?
Woof. I got crushed. I was on the Chiefs pretty heavy. You know, yeah. I was on Chiefs money line. I was on Chiefs spread. I was on a double result, so Philly first half, Chiefs full game, which I was holding out hope.
As Tom Brady sitting there talking about, oh, this could be his 28-3 moment, you're like, this could be my 28-3 moment.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
We've seen this story so many times, right? But then eventually, like, it really started getting out of hand. I was like, okay, maybe not. And then, you know what? One Chiefs bet that did come through for me, which is kind of surprising. I was on a Chiefs fourth quarter only, plus money. And they did win the fourth quarter.
There you go.
So that cashed. But outside of that, I was on tight ends that did not come through. Kelce, Goddard, no. Like, it was not a great day.
Like, what was the most surprising thing, whether it's through, like, this bet I made that I was very surprised and I had no chance at, or just, like, generally watching the game? Like, what was the most surprising thing to you about yesterday's game?
I feel like how quickly it got out of hand and how Chiefs players look so defeated.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And doesn't it feel like Chris Jones, like there's going to be an injury report that comes out, and it feels like his is going to be a CVS receipt. Like, he was banged up, and he was battling that entire game, and I feel like that weighs on a team, too, when one of your leaders is like that, and Pat Mahomes had no time. I mean, I feel like the storyline going into the Super Bowl was all about this Philly O-line, and they're massive, and they're 340 pounds. Like, that graphic during the Super Bowl they showed was bananas.
Yeah.
But the story was their D-line and how quickly they were able to get to Mahomes. And I feel like, yes, we saw Jalen Hurts win an MVP. That MVP deserved to go to the defensive line.
Yeah, I would have been fine if Josh Sweat got it.
Like, yeah,
He was probably the best player on that unit. The fact that Pat dropped back 42 times and they did not blitz a single one. Like, they had some simulated pressures. And they got, like, that, everyone's like, oh, but there was the Zach Bond play. It's like, yeah, that was a simulated pressure. Mm-hmm. That is a four-man rush on what is supposed to be a very good five-man offensive line, especially in terms of, like, yeah, they obviously have struggled some individual one-on-one matchups. Like, Tooney, you see, just gets blown off the ball by Josh Sweat. But, like, Creed Humphrey might be the best center in football.
Yeah.
And, like, to have a guy who can be like, that guy's coming, that guy. Pat's obviously on top of that stuff. And here comes Zach Bond just screaming unblocked up the middle. You're like, that was the most unprepared I have seen the Chiefs. And, like, I know they obviously did prepare, but, like, they were studying for the wrong test. Like, that was the thing that was crazy. To your point is, like, I just – to see Mahomes spiral, and the Chiefs who have been there, done that, like, spiral like that mentally, we're just like, they don't have a shot. They don't know what's happening to them right now. Like, that was – and they're not pulled out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was crazy.
I just feel like it was a men against boys in the trenches. Like, that's how good Philly was. And, look, I understand, like, we're in D.C. Like, this is probably a Commanders heavy – listening area, but that Philly defense is so young, and that's going to be not fun in the NFC.
I think I saw it's like they were the third youngest roster in the entire league.
They were so good.
Yeah.
Like, they were just battle ready. Like, they came in and they were not losing that game.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Jalen too, right? Is like, yes, is he? If I had to pick a quarterback just generally to plug into any offense around the league, he's not going to be in my top 10 guys. But
not top 10?
He might be like 9 or 10.
Okay.
But
that's
like,
where I would put him too. But I was come on, not top 10. He just won a Super Bowl.
I know. But like, the thing is, like, he's so perfect for them because like his biggest weakness, his biggest flaw is he holds on to the ball forever.
Agreed.
It doesn't matter because their offensive line's so good. But like the thing that he has that I think people underrate, and I probably have underrated
he's
this
steady.
At times, he's steady. He's a leader. Like, to have the third youngest roster in the league and for them to all see, like, half those dudes weren't there when they lost the Chiefs 2 years ago, but it felt like they were all pissed off about it. And, like, I think that probably emanates from Jalen as much as it does any, like, Sirianni's a crazy man, but, like, it also definitely emanates from Jalen and, like, this steadfast leadership that he has that I think there's other stuff that's underrated for him too, like his ability to command the play at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. That's something that my podcast co-host Logan Paulson, who does the sidelines for the Commanders radio, he like noticed that about a couple of guys this year. Lamar was actually the other one that he like really commented on. He's like, I didn't realize until I was on the sideline watching these guys operate how much they control at the line of scrimmage. And so Jalen gets that for sure. But then also like his leadership is just next level. And I think that to be able to take that what you were saying in terms of the youth of this roster, even though it's the defensive line mm-hmm. like that we're talking about, yeah, it's that to me goes back to the quarterback and kind of the tone that he sets.
I do think it's interesting to see the different types of leadership when it comes to certain quarterbacks in the NFL, but we would be remiss to say, or to not say, rather, that was the most talented team we've seen on a football field in a long time, right?
Yeah,
like, I mean, not many teams have the wide receivers like A.J. Brown, a tight end like Dallas Goedert. Like, those dudes, and then, of course, Saquon Barkley, who, like, yeah. The fact that we're not even talking about Saquon Barkley today is hysterical. Because if you would have told me going in as someone who was a Chiefs backer heavy,
yeah.
that Saquon Barkley was held to under 60 rushing yards, I'd have been like, Chiefs won easily.
Yeah.
Forcing Jalen Hurts to throw the ball, and he did and was successful, that's surprising. Going back to your first question, what was the most surprising thing? How successful Jalen Hurts was in the air.
Right, and it's like, it's kind of this thing that people say all the time, and I probably said it last week previewing the game. Like, oh, I'm going to make Jalen Hurts beat us. Well, then he did. So, like, what do you do about that?
Period.
What do you do about that? You lose the Super Bowl because there's no alternative. Like, the alternative was you take guys out of the box and you say, all right, well, Saquon, if you bust one, Like, that's no way to play. I mean, they picked Hurts off too early. Like,
yeah.
They had their opportunities, and then I think, you know, obviously you just talk about the Eagles' defense, and it's like, okay, well, that's where the game was
right.
was really won. Anything else from the game that you thought was, like, really super interesting?
I think going back to when Hurts got picked off, that was one of the moments where I was like, this game is about to flip.
Yeah.
Right? We have seen this story again with Mahomes. He's down 10 points in the Super Bowl, and guess what? He wins! And then we've seen the Chiefs get away with one every single week. Like, the entire regular season, they're getting away with these wins. And yes, it takes guts, it takes courage to be able to be able to beat teams and find ways to win in the fourth quarter. But when Hurts got picked off, I was like, all right, this is it. This is what we've seen. The Chiefs will take advantage of opposing teams making mistakes. And fortunately for the Eagles, it was fine. And I feel like that was surprising because all season long, the script has been, you can't make mistakes against the Kansas City Chiefs because they're going to make you pay for it. And that was not the case.
Right. And it also just felt like their luck ran out. Like they...
It did.
There's an element of undeniable luck to any season. Right. And the Eagles have it too, right? Like, they're one of the healthiest teams in the NFL. Like, you mentioned Chris Jones. Like, mm-hmm. he's clearly banged up. He had the huge knee brace on. He goes down in the game. Who's hurt on the Eagles? Like, their O-line was banged up the NFC Championship game, and they overcame that.
Well, and I was fading the Eagles when Hurts, like, had the knee.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, he looks pretty good to me.
Yeah. And he looked outstanding.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to literally think in my head position by position. Their whole O-line's good. Quarterback's good. The running back's good. The wide receivers are good. Goddard's good. Defensively, I think they got Brandon Graham back for the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
honestly,
N'Kobe
their
Dean.
Biggest liability was their kicker at that point. Like, everyone.
Right. And Jake Elliott,
like...
by the way, he reverted to being Jake Elliott in the playoffs. He's just like, I don't miss anymore. Okay, cool. Great. Fine. Fantastic.
You couldn't Congrats, pay me Eagles, to be a kicker, though.
Oh, you could pay me. They make really good money.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
I know,
you can. I'm
so
not going to last
pressure.
More. I'm not going to last more than a game, but that's fine. Like, I'll take the game check. Their game check's probably bigger than my yearly salary.
I'm not even sure I want that.
Meg, this radio money's not as good as your TV money. That's all I'm saying. You can pay me to be a kicker any day.
I know, but like everyone coming full force at you, I just no.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I'd be good at it. I'm not
unwell.
Saying it wouldn't be scary, but
even thinking
for
of
one
it.
Of those game checks, I'll take it. Do you see the Eli Payton kick of destiny deal?
No.
Oh yeah, they did earlier in the day. Just in. People think kicking like a 20-yard field goal, which is something that nobody actually even does because you'd have to snap the ball from like the 1-yard line, is easy. And like, then they get out there and you have like two guys that are going to the Hall of Fame as quarterbacks that are like, okay, how athletic are you?
So
you
they kicked? Something.
Yeah, no, this was like a whole deal.
Oh my gosh, I missed this. What happened?
Yeah, so Peyton went first and shanked a 25-yarder.
Sure,
Eli went first and his 25-yarder like didn't even make the end zone. And
could
then
you do it?
A 25-yarder.
No
would
pressure,
be close.
Just you on the field.
I think. I mean, I could. I don't know about first try. Like, I'm not like, oh, I would go 10 for 10.
You have 3 tries.
I feel pretty good about that.
Really?
Yeah. Now 30.
I'm not making it.
30? No. 25? I think I could.
Okay.
But yeah.
I believe you.
Eli definitely like pulled some muscles in training for it and
hamstrings.
But eventually,
eventually
he hit a 20-yarder and won the deal.
It couldn't be me. I wouldn't want to try it. I know if you gave me 3 tries. If you were like, you win $1 million and you have 3 attempts, I'd be
I feel pretty good about
I
that.
I have my doubts.
Anthony, Could you, Anthony, how are your kicking skills? Do you think for three attempts, do we say 20 or 25 yards?
25.
25 yards. Are you making that?
Yes.
Are you toe poking it, or are you like full soccer style kicking it?
Full soccer style kicking it. Okay. The thing is, I've already done this.
Okay. I believe you.
Tell us the story. I don't believe you.
Okay, I got you then. All right. So for my birthday last year,
you were just going to let him get away with that down, so easily.
For my birthday, I went down to Atlanta, and I went to the College Football Hall of Fame. And in the College Football Hall of Fame, they have all these like competition and activities for everybody that comes in there and participates. So I got in line, and I want to say I kicked from 25. If it wasn't 25 yards, it was maybe 20. Mm. But there was a lot of distance on my kick, is what I'm going to tell you.
Okay, so it would have been, if it was only 20, it would have been good for 25.
Yes, no question.
So here's the other thing.
I'm going to see if I have the video and send it to you.
Okay, yeah, send it to me, and then before Meg gets out of here, she's going to go beat traffic here very soon. But I will show her if it shows up on my phone. We also, I Anthony, at the top of our rundown, we have to run 40s before the combine, don't we? And we are running out of time.
Yeah, we do.
What's the time? What's the time?
I don't remember like how that. We've been talking about doing it for like 2 years.
Okay, so it's not happening.
Yeah, yeah, probably. So you do.
Let's
listen
keep it
to
moving.
The, so you do listen to the show. I think we can get this done this year. Anthony, how did this start? I think it generally started with me being like, people don't understand how fast like a 5.0 40 is.
5.0 40 is fast.
Yeah, like for
it's
a real
like
person,
not for the common folk.
Right, like for a normal person, that is blazing fast. For an NFL, anything but offensive lineman, you're not fast enough to play in the league.
Okay, I ran a 40 after, so I was a gymnast in college, okay. And then when I was done, I took one more semester so I could be like a normal person and enjoy college.
Yeah,
but my strength coach still like wanted to do workouts and stuff, which was cool. And I was going to intern with NFL Films. I'm like 20 years old, right? And he was like, we're going to put you through a combine before you get
amazing
to Mount Laurel. And I was like, I am so ready for this. Let's go. Like, let's prep. And I ran a 5.3 40. And I was like, that was the fastest. Like, I didn't have any room to go
and
faster.
You were,
and I was hurting.
D1 level
gymnast? D1, yeah.
And, like, that's a powerful, like, sport. Like, that is the
Thank
crossover.
You for saying that.
The crossover. Now I've got my fitness hat on. I know you have fitness hats too.
Yeah.
Like, the crossover of gymnast to 40 time, except for stride length.
Well, because it's like a vault.
Right, exactly.
Right? It's like a literal vault.
Exactly.
Like, except we have to jump over something at the end of it.
If you could stretch Simone Biles to be 5'7", nevertheless,
yes,
4'7",
yes,
she would run like a 4.2. Her stride is just not long enough to run like a 4.3. Her power per step is probably every bit as fast as like a world-class sprinter.
I would agree with that.
She's
just like bite size.
What is it like as someone who was a gymnast to watch Simone Biles?
Iconic. Like, it's hard for me to put into words, and I'm sorry to the listeners out there who did not sign up for gymnastics talk today.
This is the show.
The day after the Super Bowl, which
sometimes
this is not what they want.
Just
but
remember, everybody, this started with 40 times.
The ability to pivot is very impactful. But I do say to like people who don't know gymnastics, I'm like, there's no comparing Simone to Michael Jordan or LeBron because no one will come close to the skills that she's throwing. Like, it's not physically possible for a lot of women to be able to do the skills she's doing. So she does skills that men can do, but men have different muscles and, you know, they're taller and faster and stronger. And like, women just don't have the biological makeup to do the things somehow Simone does.
Right. There
just won't be another person who can match that level of difficulty.
But also, aren't there some things she does that, like, men also haven't done?
Yes.
Because, like,
also, it's crazy.
Yeah, like, she's just the perfect combination of, like, compact, powerful, I don't even know what other.
Mentally tough.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
You can be elite. You can be an elite athlete and not have it up here, and then who cares?
Yeah, it's.
You gotta have it all.
I'm trying to think of, like, what the, like, the best that I can think of is, like, it would be, like, Steph Curry when he first got in the league, and we're like, wait, you're allowed to do that? Like, and he's taking shots from 38 feet, and you're like, that's not supposed to be how basketball works.
And here's the difference, though. Like, Steph Curry can change the game, and people adapt to the range, right? And
right.
You have
now
kids
you have
today
Dame, you
who
have Trey,
are
yeah,
stretching
yeah
the floor, and that's what the game is.
Right.
No one will be able to match what her level of game is.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's not humanly possible.
Yeah.
Unless you're one person in the world, and it's Simone.
That's That's well put. That's well put. Everybody, television's Meg McDonald with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, we're going to talk. Oh, I have a.
Do we have the video?
Hold on. He says I might have missed it.
Of course. Oh my gosh!
Hold on.
Yes.
Oh, we got.
We
got full warm ups.
Oh my gosh! Look at the warm ups.
He's making sure he doesn't pull a hamstring.
This is hysterical. Cool team shirt.
Let's see. Anthony, does anyone cuss on this video? I need to make sure that I hold it away from the microphone. Actually, we'll just go ahead and pull the volume down.
I will lose it if you miss this.
You got it full. We got a step. Oh, we got finger up in the air. He's testing the wind.
I love how seriously you're taking it.
You also toe-poked it, and you missed wide left.
What? They're really wide? I don't remember.
Yeah, that was definitely...
You let him get away with that story way too easily without
it had the distance. It had the distance.
It went straight up and straight down is what I saw.
Anthony.
That is so funny.
Having the distance is not how field goals work. How long have you been watching football?
Right.
The ball has to go through the uprights.
Right.
Yeah. I go out there on center court here at Capital One Arena, fling up a half-court shot, like hit someone in the second row in the face, and be like, I don't know, it had the distance.
Look, three opportunities, I like my odds.
Okay. All right.
That's funny.
We're going to have to go to a field. We'll bring a camera. We'll run 40s, make sure we're nice and loose, and then we'll see if we can kick field goals. We have to get a holder, though. I'm not holding for you. I'm not breaking a finger when you kick my fingers.
That's fair.
Okay, thank you.
You know
I don't
what
expect
the
you to
difference
that
is between men and women?
There's so
you
many.
You men are so confident. Like, the way you're like, I could do it, and then he goes, I have done it, and then no, you didn't.
I understand my own limitations. If you told me it was 30 yards, I have zero confidence.
The 5 yards do it.
I mean, it's 15 feet. That's a long way.
I get it.
And I think that people...
I said no from the jump. I was like, couldn't be me.
All right, well, more challenges for us to fail at and embarrass ourselves at. If we succeed, Meg will be back at some point. If not, then we're going to ban her from the show.
McDonald. I just did double thumbs up. I hate that for me.
Meg McDonald, everybody. Catch her. What time daily?
I don't look. Well, the season just ended. So now I'm just waiting to see about the Mystics. We have a Mystics presser on Wednesday to introduce the new head coach.
We'll be live, I think, on YouTube after that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So.
So I'll see you Wednesday.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Mystic stuff is coming. We'll see Meg on Wednesday. Back to the Super Bowl next on the Team 980.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.